The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we gather in this place to worship you, Lord, we don't want to just go through the motions and sing the songs and pray the prayers and listen and leave without seeing Jesus. So we pray, Lord, now that indeed you'd open our eyes so that we would experience the touch of Jesus' love through every part of this service and know that we have gathered in this place and experience to you. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to be honest with yourself and with God as we confess together our sinfulness using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. O Lord our God, many times before we eat a meal, we pause to say thanks to you for the wonderful food we're about to eat. However, we admit that sometimes those prayers are just empty words. We have not truly been thankful to you for all of your blessings. We have spent more time complaining about what we don't have than being grateful for what we do have. Forgive us for our self-centered view of life and remind us that everything we have is simply by your grace. We pray through Jesus, who became poor so that we might know what true riches are. Amen. You'll notice in your bulletin that today is World Communion Sunday. We celebrate communion, and Christians all over the world celebrate together today. And you'll notice there are what we call words of institution, words that Jesus said when he instituted this Lord's Supper that I say every time we celebrate it together. One of the things Jesus said when talking about the cup was, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood poured out for the," you know what the next word is? Forgiveness or remission or whatever translation you use, but the word it means forgiveness of our sins. See, this meal reminds us that in Jesus Christ, through his death, through his sacrifice on the cross, through the blood that he shed for us, we are forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children now to come forward for the children's sermon. As they are coming, why don't you greet someone close by you? Let them know you're glad to see them today. You want to sit there? Can I sit beside you? Can I sit like right here like that? Okay, y'all come a little closer so you can see the pictures in the book, okay? I've got a story that I'm going to read you today. I started this a few weeks ago. It's about a woman in the Bible that maybe you haven't heard of, but her name is Priscilla, okay? Her name is Priscilla, and she's known for being a good teacher. God gave her the gift of teaching. Now, there are some places where because she was a woman, some people might tell her she ought not to teach. But I want you to know, it just so happens we just got girls here today. I want you to know that even just because you're a girl doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to use all the gifts that God gives you, okay? So where we left off in the story, she had met a man named Priscilla. Aquila. Okay, let me get that. Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, let me get the name straight. It is interesting, now that I've made a mistake, it is interesting that in the Bible, at first, it talks about Aquila and Priscilla. Now, is Aquila the man or the woman? Aquila is the man, okay. It mentions Aquila first, but then in time, it changes, and the Bible talks about Priscilla and Aquila. She became kind of more important because of the gift that she had. Okay, so here's a picture. Aquila and Priscilla, okay? You don't have to. That's all right. I certainly can't make you. Guess what they did together? One of the things they did together was they made tents. Okay? That involves like sewing and things. But they made tents because back then a lot of people lived in tents. So they made tents together. Then one day they went to the marketplace and they found out that the emperor, the Roman emperor, kind of like the king, told they were Jews, and the king said all the Jews had to leave Rome. So they had to leave where they lived. That's tough when you have to move away. But they moved away. But then they met, here's Priscilla and Aquila, they met a man, and his name is Paul. Now, you've probably heard of him, even if you hadn't heard of Aquila and Priscilla. They became friends with Paul. Guess what Paul did for work? He made tents. And so that kind of brought them together, and so they made tents together. But they also had something else that brought them together. Paul went around telling other people the good news about Jesus. And they believed in Jesus too. So he said, would you help me? They said, yes, we would love to help you. So they traveled around telling other people about Jesus. Look, see how they have a table and a bunch of friends? They had a bunch of friends come over to their house. And they taught them about Jesus. Now, guess who was the better teacher, Aquila or Priscilla? Priscilla was the better teacher. And so she did a great job teaching other people about Jesus. And one day, Paul told them that he was going to have to move on and go somewhere else. They said that they would miss him, but they ended up seeing him later on and following him. Okay? So that's a great story about somebody that we don't hear about much in the Bible. Her name is, what's the woman's name? Priscilla. And she was a teacher. That was the gift that God gave her. Now, you might not know yet, but God has given each one of you a gift. Some special thing that you can do, and God wants you to use that to help him, okay? Let's pray together, all right? Okay. Dear God, thank you for people like Priscilla who did what you told them to do and used their gifts to glorify you and to do what you told them to do. Help us to use whatever we can do to do what you tell us to do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for being mostly good listeners. Are you ready to listen? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, page 899 in your pew Bibles. Now, these are verses you probably have heard before somewhere along the way, but I want you to listen carefully because I want you to listen and maybe God has something to say in these verses that you haven't heard before. Okay, so let's pray that God would do that. Lord, open our ears now that we would hear your truth, that we would not just hear words as if we've heard them before, but listen as if we were hearing for the very first time. Maybe something that we didn't know before or something that we know but have forgotten or pushed to the side. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me then at Matthew 11, 28. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, who wants some rest? You know, I think if I could bottle rest and sell it, I could make a fortune. Because I know a lot of people these days want rest. Rest at night in the form of sleep. Some of you have trouble sleeping, although you don't seem to when you come to church. But in the middle of the night, you do. Rest from hard work. labor of the mind or body, rest from fighting in relationships, rest from worry, rest from expectations, both mine and someone else's, rest from my fears of the future, rest from all the responsibilities that tend to burden me down, rest from the burden and guilt of sin. In the midst of our need for rest in all these ways, Jesus steps forward and says, "Do you need rest? I am the rest giver. I will give you rest. If you really want the best kind of rest, the kind that you really need, whether you know it or not, come to me and I will give you rest." I've titled this The Greatest Invitation. I truly believe it is. If you'll look in your bulletin, follow along, you'll see we're going to answer some questions about this. First, who is the inviter? Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, the inviter makes all the difference in the world. For example, let's say I get two invitations in the mail. One is from someone I've never heard of, and they invite me to come to a local restaurant and hear a speaker tell me how I can invest my money or purchase something. I've never heard of this person before, and they say, "Bring a check for $10,000 and come to hear this speaker." Okay, that's one invitation. The other invitation I get from one of you. I know you well. It's a personal invitation. I know your name and I know where you live. You're inviting me to come to your house and to give me a wonderful meal, to feed me. And then at the end, you've promised to give me a very special gift. Now, of those two invitations, which one am I going to respond to? What do you think? I'm going to respond to the second one. Why? Because I know the inviter. The inviter makes all the difference in the world. Who is the inviter? It is Jesus. And notice who he is. Let me mention three things about him. He is able to do what he promises. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He has the keys of death and Hades. All the kings and queens of the world will bow before him and call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is able to do whatever he promises. So if he promises to give me rest, he's able to do that. Secondly, he is faithful to do what he promises. You know, there are a lot of people that promise lots of things but don't follow through. But Jesus is faithful to do what he promises. He will not lie, deceive, cheat, or cut any corners. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will endure forever. He's faithful. And then also, he is willing to do what he promises. He proved it by giving his all on the cross. Surely the man who suffered and endured on the cross and gave everything he had on that cross, surely he will also give everything else that he promises. So it is Jesus who invites us today. Secondly, to whom is the invitation addressed? Notice he says, "All you who are weary and burdened." Does that describe you today? Weary and burdened. Why are you so tired and so in need of rest? It's because you're working so hard at something that is just not right for you. Have you ever been maybe in a bad relationship? It takes so much work and it's so unfulfilling because it's just not right. It just doesn't fit right. Well, Jesus says, "I can fix that." You don't need to go through your whole life with this great burden and weight on your back. Jesus' invitation goes out to all, to a persecutor like Saul, an adulterer and murderer like King David, a cheating extortioner like Zacchaeus, a prostitute like Rahab. You may think, "Well, I'm not fit for Jesus. Jesus is inviting people, but I'm not good enough." No, his invitation goes out to all, but there's another sense in which it does not. There are people Jesus does not invite. For example, Jesus does not invite the self-righteous because they think they have no need of Jesus. He doesn't invite those who are who don't think that they have any need to come to somebody like Jesus. Those who are so proud. Those who are so full of themselves. Instead, Jesus invites the poor, the tired, the burdened, the weary. And he invites them all without any exception. Then thirdly, what does he invite us to do? Well, he invites us to do three simple things. They're very simple. First, he says, come to me. Isn't that simple enough? Come to Jesus. Notice it's not come to church. It's not come to the Lord's table. It's not come to the pastor. It's not come to a political party. It's not come to a list of rules. It's come to a person. Come to Jesus. You realize you can come to church every Sunday without coming to Jesus? You can come to church, you can participate in the life of this church without really coming to Jesus because you've forgotten that it's really all about Jesus. He says, just come to me. Secondly, he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, think about that. Even if you haven't seen one in real life, you can probably picture that in your mind. The image of a yoke from agriculture. Farmers would place a yoke on a pair of animals to harness their strength to plow the fields. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that idea of a yoke being placed around my neck for me to work. That's not necessarily a pleasant thought when he says, take my yoke upon you. But notice he says it's not a burdensome yoke because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that is the same Jesus who said, if anyone will come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So he's not saying, your life is hard, but if you come follow me, I'll make it easy on you. You don't have to do a thing. You can just be lazy all the time. No, that's not what he's saying. When he says, my yoke is easy, what he's saying is that you need the right kind of yoke. You have a yoke on you now. The reason you are so weary and burdened is you have a yoke on you that doesn't fit you right. It's one that you have made yourself or one that you have chosen from someone else, and it's just not right for you. What you need is the kind of yoke that I'm going to give you, the kind that calls you to a labor of love for which God made you, one that fits perfectly because it's exactly what God made you to be. That is the kind of yoke that you need, and it's easy and light. And then third, he says, learn from me. There's a sense in which Jesus is both the curriculum and the teacher. Everything I really need to know in life, I can learn from Jesus. I learn about my sin and that Jesus is my Savior. I learn about forgiveness, and Jesus says he will forgive me and help me to forgive others. I learn about Jesus' compassion on the needy, so I learn to be like Jesus. I learn about Jesus' hope for the future, indeed that he will take care of me for eternity. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And then he says, what does he offer to give us? Well, it's very simple. He offers us rest, but notice in these verses, he promises rest twice in two different ways. First, in verse 28, he says, I will give you rest. It's a gift of grace. Come to me, and I will give you this rest. But then in verse 29, he says it differently. He says, you will find rest for your souls. This is a rest that is not given, but a rest that is found. You know, when I come to Jesus, he freely gives me this gift of rest. I don't deserve it, but he freely gives it to me. But then as I follow Jesus, as I learn from Jesus, as I stay with Jesus and continue to learn from him, I discover this rest more and more and in a different way. You understand what he's talking about? When you first come to Jesus, you get gifts by grace, but then as you walk with Jesus over the years, you learn more about him and learn more about the rest that he has given you. I hope some of you have walked with Jesus, I know, for many years. I hope that you are continuing to learn more about the rest that Jesus gives you. I hope that your Christian life is not so stale that you're living on experiences from 20, 30 years ago. I hope that you continue to experience the rest that Jesus offers you right now in your life. This table set before us reminds us, as I told you earlier, this is World Communion Sunday. One thing that reminds me is that there are millions of Christians all over the world, all different countries and races and languages and customs, but still all centered together around this one Jesus who has said, come to me, and they have come. And that is an encouragement to me as I live the Christian life that I'm not alone. This is not just a small thing here in Graham, North Carolina, or Alamance County, and it's just for us. No, this is something that is literally all the way around the world, and there are people around the world today who are sacrificing to come to the Lord's table because they're being persecuted just for following Jesus. They're taking a risk just to come to church. You know, that encourages me that if they would do that, I need to go deeper in my faith. I need to kind of drill down deeper and know Christ more and follow him more and constantly be challenged as I come to him. So I invite you, as you come to the Lord's table, remember it's a table of grace. So it's not based on what you deserve, it's a gift. But as you come, find out that indeed the rest that Jesus has already given you, you discover more and more about it as you follow Jesus more closely. So let's prepare to come to the Lord's table as we sing together the hymn you'll find in your bulletin, Let Us Break Bread Together. Let me invite you as you're able to stand together as we sing. Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this great invitation that we have received from Jesus Christ our Savior. It's the most simple thing and yet most profound. Come. Come to me. Come near me. Learn from me. Follow me. Let me teach you what life is really all about. let me teach you about this life and the life to come. So, Lord, as we come to this table, as we participate together in this sacrament, we pray that indeed we would not just be eating and drinking, but that indeed we would be coming to Jesus. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, who gave his all for us. Indeed, on the night before he died, he gathered with his disciples and gave them bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again for us." So, Lord, it is in faith and in hope that we partake together this day. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Indeed, on that fateful night before he died, Jesus gathered with the disciples and he took bread and broke it and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you, as you are served the bread, to hold it, and then we'll partake together all at once, reminding us that we are connected together as sisters and brothers in Christ. Then as you're served the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed Jesus' invitation has gone out to all of us, "Come to me," but we respond one person at a time to that greatest invitation. This is the Lord's table. It's a table of grace. Come and receive God's grace once again.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never hunger. Those who believe in me will never thirst." Jesus said, "This is my body. Do this and remember me." In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it." for this simple meal that you have provided for us. It's the Eucharist, a meal of thanksgiving. So, Lord, we give you our thanks for every blessing that you have graced us with. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve this table. We don't deserve the invitation from Jesus. We don't deserve his forgiveness, and yet you've freely given us all of those. So, Lord, we now from our hearts say thank you. Thank you for giving us your rich blessings in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's through him that we pray to you together, praying the prayer that long ago he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue to give thanks to God in the gifts that we present to God's glory.
Oh Lord, we thank you this day that you have invited us to come to you. And you said if we come, you would give us rest. You'd teach us what life was all about. You'd change us. Part of that change is opening our hearts so that we give more. We give more and more of ourselves, remembering that Jesus gave us his all. So we ask that you'd continue to teach us to give and to share, so that indeed we would be more and more like our Savior Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you, if you get a chance, immediately following worship, to give a word of welcome to Jim and Bev and to Marie as well. We're so thankful to have them as the newest members of our church. That hymn we sang that said, Jesus calls us in and then sends us out. Jesus calls us, come to me, I'll give you rest. But then he sends us out. You know, as we go out from this place, you know, we go out to our cars and we're probably thinking about what we want to eat for lunch and maybe taking a nap this afternoon, speaking of rest, you know. But Jesus calls us out to do more than that, not just think about our needs, but to think about the needs of others. So as you go from this place, know that you have come to Jesus and receive the rest you need. But go forth from this place in the power of Jesus Christ to share the good news with others, that indeed God might receive all glory, honor, and praise now and forever. Amen.